Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by you guys and Kobe. Actually, I was able to grab Kobe on his way out of Staples Center, and he's sitting with me right now. Sorry, Kobe. I have way too many mailbag questions, and I am not able to actually conduct this interview with you. So next time, though. Next time. Yep. All right. Yeah, have a good one. That was Kobe. That was Kobe Bryant. How about that? He made an appearance on the show. That was pretty great. Today's show, I'm going to start by discussing and analyzing what I can from a thorough beatdown of the Atlanta Hawks. And then I'm going to answer your guys' questions. So I'm going to start here with the Lakers beating the Atlanta Hawks 122-101. And even that score doesn't really do a service to how thoroughly outmatched Atlanta was really all weekend, right? They got smoked, I believe, by nearly 50 points by the Clippers, and then they lost by 21 to the Lakers, and that easily could have been more. Let's start, though, with LeBron. You have to. He was... With Kobe sitting courtside, LeBron went full God mode in a game he obviously probably didn't have to go full God mode in. But he finishes the game a plus 30 in 33 minutes with 33 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds, 6 of 10 from three-point range, and 13 of 21 from the floor. No turnovers, a steal and a block. Not bad. Not too shabby. It was very clear that he was out there trying to put a show on for Kobe. And, obviously he wouldn't probably admit to it. He'd probably just consider this another game or whatever. He did say after the game that it was cool to have Kobe there, and he appreciated that Kobe would come out and represent Laker fam out there on courtside. It was cool to have Kobe there at a game with a good Lakers team. I'm sure, Kobe last year had his jerseys retired. So obviously he had to attend the game for that. But I kind of sort of feel like knowing what we know about Kobe, he's probably been biding his time, trying to figure out when makes sense for him to go to a Laker game where the Lakers are good and Laker fans will be in a good enough mood to give him an ovation as the way they did every time he was shown on the Jumbotron and as he walked off to the court. So I thought it's really smart on his part. And two, it was really cool. It was a fun game. Obviously, Anthony Davis would have maybe preferred that things go a little differently in front of Kobe. He floated quite a bit out there, 14 points, only one rebound, 5 of 14 from the field, only 4 of 5 from the free throw line. It was very clearly a game that the Lakers were capable of blowing out without giving full energy. And, they did. They took care of business. And I particularly liked the way they looked on Trae Young in minutes where he wasn't guarded by Rajon Rondo. I thought the guys who were guarding him did so very intelligently. They kind of took a step back, and you don't want to normally take a step back on Trae Young, but KCP has a few inches on him, Alex Caruso has a few inches on him, and what you saw was they basically tried to keep him in front as long as possible, and he's very good, so you're not always going to be able to do it, but they tried to keep in front, and as soon as he got into the key, they collapsed at the kind of angles that made it really hard for him to actually complete passes that put Atlanta at an advantage to take advantage of the Lakers basically trying to trap him. And I thought that was kind of sort of the story of the game, especially early on. Atlanta just kept turning the ball over. They got 4 shots and the Lakers got out into transition and the game was never really close after that. Even when the game got quote unquote close and heavy on the air quotes here, but even when when Atlanta was within 12 or 14 points, it just felt like the Lakers were probably just going to go on another run, extend it out to 20-ish points or so, and close out the game, and that's basically how it played out. So, look, the Lakers now have the best record in the NBA, despite a beginning of the schedule that was harder, still light, you know, still light, but harder than maybe they thought it would be or we thought it would be heading into the season. They've taken care of the teams that they've had to, and they've won the home games that they've had to, and it's been fun to see. It's been I really enjoyed this Lakers team. I really do. I thought the last thing I'll say about this before we get to bigger picture stuff in your guys' questions, but regarding Rajon Rondo, so at one point the Lakers were up by like 18, and he was like a minus 12 or something like that. And eventually he turned it around. He finished the game as a plus 12 on the night. I think LeBron came in at one point. They played alongside each other and extended the lead back out to about 20. And I think that kind of corrected what Rondo's plus minus was going to be at the end of the night. And what I felt was like a really important play that I don't know was going to get as much attention as it maybe should. But there was a play where LeBron drove middle, collapsed the defense, kicked it out to Rajon Rondo. Rondo didn't hesitate, pulled the open three-pointer, hit the open three-pointer. And I think it was one of back-to-back three-pointers that he hit. But he hit that open three-pointer without hesitating. And if that combination of LeBron and Rajon Rondo is going to work, it's going to be because of plays like that. You know, now the defense is always going to suffer because Rondo is not a good defender. I actually thought it was interesting that Stu Lance went at Rondo a little bit about his defense. But, you know, if LeBron and Rondo were going to work, Rondo was going to have to keep the defense honest. And the only way to do that is to not hesitate and shoot open three-pointers. And we've been hearing since Rondo came to the Lakers that his three-point shooting has improved and it looks a lot smoother and this and that and the other. If it is improving, and statistically it is, but if it is improving, he has to be comfortable enough, strokes are fun, to take that three-pointer without any kind of hesitation the way that he did on that play. And the more we see that, the better chance that those LeBron-Rondo minutes won't be disasters. They still might be. It might be too much to overcome because it's not a very natural fit. But if Rondo takes those three-pointers and hits those three-pointers and forces the defense to guard him and open up just a little bit more space for LeBron in those minutes, then the Lakers might actually be able to get something out of that tandem. All right, enough me babbling on about a blowout on a random Sunday night. Fun game overall. And again, really cool that Kobe came out and watched. I thought that was really cool. And he seemed to be getting a lot of enjoyment out of the game. That Kuzma kind of step through, spin around, pivot in the mid post. That was incredible. Felt, you know, Kobe really enjoyed that. There's a really cool clip on Twitter of Kobe enjoying that. Danny Green getting up and shocking everybody, including Danny Green, to dunk it on all of the Atlanta Hawks, and everybody really enjoyed that. So fun game. This team is a lot of fun. They're very likable, and it's fun to analyze a team like this. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick second, come back, answer your guys' questions about this really fun team. All right, so the first question here comes from Team Mike 206. Who is more likely to make an all-star team this year, Brandon Ingram or D'Angelo Russell? Also, who makes an all-star team first, Lonzo Ball or Kyle Kuzma? I'll start with the Ingram or Russell thing. I think, more likely to make an all-star team this year. So Russell, I think Russell has a slightly better chance, because there's like literally nobody else on that roster who can generate their, you know, create their own shot or create shots for other people. So his numbers are going to be such that people say, like, all right, yeah, that, I mean, just based on numbers alone, maybe he deserves a vote. The thing, though, is that Russell's probably going to miss a bit of time. And if you're the Golden State Warriors and you're the worst team in the NBA right now, why rush him back at all? So, you know, maybe he misses so much time that Ingram utilizes that time, though Ingram is out right now, too. And you know, who knows how that goes. So I think it's Russell by a little bit. We'll see also how Ingram and Zion Williamson work when those two finally get to play together. That's probably going to go a long way in dictating or, you know, deciding whether or not Ingram is considered an all-star this year. I don't think either make it, to be completely honest. Neither of their teams are good enough to deserve an all-star player. And there's so much talent in the Western Conference that those spots are going to go to players from good teams. Who makes an all-star team first, Lonzo Ball or Kyle Kuzma? I think this one's pretty easily Kuzma. He's in L.A. He's going to get a ton of the fan vote. Not enough, obviously, to start on an all-star team. But, you know, he'll be on national TV a lot more than Lonzo Ball will. He'll be a part. Like, as of right now, he's been playing his ass off. I think he's shooting above 50% from three-point range over his last, like, three, four games. If he plays an important role on a Lakers team that, like, as it stands right now, is at the top of the NBA, then he'll probably get some votes. And Lonzo Ball, as it stands, is dealing with yet another injury, is on a bad team, looks a lot like the same player we saw last year, so not nearly as much growth as you would have liked to seen at this stage. And yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think either make one for a little while, but who knows? Let's go to the next question. Here comes from CTuck24. Hey, Anthony, big show, fan of the show. Listen every day. Thank you. Hey, love listening to you, Pete, and Harrison talk about the Lake Show. We love talking about them. Question, do you think the Lakers will sign any more shooters before the end of the year? Or do you think when Kuz gets back in the swing of things, he'll help that out? Also, assuming AD will play whatever position, what do you think is the Lakers' best lineup? Thanks, ChrisTucker24. So, about the extra shooter, I think they're more focused on Andre Iguodala right now or a player like him. So I think they need a wing defender more than they need another shooter, though you can never have enough shooters, in my opinion. Kuzma has picked things up, as I just said on the last question. He has picked things up, and that makes needing another shooter that much lower a priority. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lakers' two losses in the games they've struggled the most in this year were against Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers and Pascal Siakam and the Raptors, two big, physical, athletic, small forwards or wings. Those guys are going to give the Lakers the most problems, and I think that's where Iggy can step in and help a little bit more than random shooter opening the court up might. I think the bet right now is that the Lakers start to turn things around from deep, and they kind of have, and you try to fix other holes before, or fill other holes before you get to that. The Lakers' best lineup, assuming AD plays wherever I want him to, I still think it's Caruso, Green, Kuzma, LeBron, and AD. So Caruso, Green, Kuzma, LeBron, and AD. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the Lakers' best lineup. Caruso is a really good defender. Maybe you sneak Avery Bradley in there, but I kind of like Caruso's ability to handle the ball a little bit more than Bradley does. Green, obviously, he's going to be a part of all of the Lakers' best lineups this year. Kuzma, if he continues to play the way that he has over the last three games or so, he's the Lakers' third or fourth best player, and then obviously LeBron and AD. If you want to go big, like those minutes between or with Dwight and AD out there on the court at the same time. Heading into tonight's game, the Lakers were outscoring opposing teams by like 28 points per 100 possessions when those guys were on the court together. So maybe you go, I guess you could try to go Green, Kuzma, LeBron, AD, and Dwight. But I don't think you have enough dribblers, ball handlers on the court with that group. So maybe it's, either Caruso or Avery Bradley, Green, LeBron, AD, and Dwight. But I still think that first lineup of Caruso, Green, Kuz, AD, and LeBron, that's probably going to be the Lakers' best lineup this year. But, you know, you never know about these things. Let's go one more question here before we throw to the break. Next Lakers Dynasty writes, love the show more than pineapple on pizza. It's close, though. Two questions. One, everyone in Lakers Nation is clamoring for Iguodala to hit the open market, but is it fair to wonder how much he has left in the tank? Iggy looked washed in the finals and didn't look great in the playoffs either. Two, asked this in the offseason but got skipped by iTunes, I guess. Which do you think little Avery will know more? Her ABCs are the names of three of the Lakers starters. Keep in mind nicknames, counts, abbreviations, etc. For example, AD is an easy one. I think I knew the ABCs before I said Go Dados, but it was close. I said the story when I was on with Locked On Dodgers last week or the week before, and there's a clip that my parents have of me, you know, about a year old saying, you know, sitting in a high chair, basically, and my parents saying, go Dodgers. And I was like, go Dodgers, you know. that had to come around the time that I started learning my alphabet. So it'll probably be close for Avery, too. She's already mimicking. So technically speaking, we do this thing with Avery where we go, coo, and she'll kind of like, coo back at us. That's really close to Kuzma, right? So maybe Avery's, when she cries, she says mom already, kind of on accident. And maybe on accident, she's saying Kuz, which means, yeah, as her father, I am now realizing another man is the first word, or another man's name is, it came out before daddy from my daughter, which honestly, probably pretty fitting, given the role that the Lakers play in our lives. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. All right, next question here comes from Swagga Boy Cotton World Peace. That's a name. Love the show. Listen every morning to make my morning commute bearable. As a born and bred Lakers fan living and working in Boston, there is tremendous hate towards LBJ due to his track record of beating the Celtics in the playoffs. Everybody around here seems to think Rondo is some sort of point god. What would your angle be in these conversations I have just about every day? Keep doing the Lord's work. So I would go regarding LeBron. Like, you can hate the guy all you want, but at the end of the day, you do have to respect the fact that he owns you in the playoffs. And he does. So that one's pretty straightforward. You would just, I wouldn't even like, all I would do is just recite times that he has beaten Boston in the playoffs and ask him how little they want to see LeBron in the finals this year. Like, I'm sure they wouldn't really want to see that happen. Regarding Rondo, I would say that by considering him a point god, and he was really good for a little while, I still think a little overrated even at his peak, but if they're calling Rondo a point god, that means that it took a point god. Like, so they had a roster with a point god in Rajon Rondo, one of the best two guards ever in Ray Allen, and arguably the best shooter in, you know, not named Steph or Clay ever. Paul Pierce, somebody they hold up as a legitimately great Hall of Fame type player, even without Kevin Garnett saving his skin. And Kevin Garnett, one of the absolute greatest big men that the league has seen, especially on the defensive end, that collection of talent was only able to win one championship. So either they fell short of expectations, and now they had some bad injury luck. Garnett, kind of his body kind of giving out on him, really sucked, frankly. Don't bring that weak Kendrick Perkins shit in here. That's not even that's a non-starter in any conversation about the Lakers and the Celtics in that series. But either they fell short of expectations, only winning one championship there, or one or two of those guys are a little overrated. And if you want to say that Ray Allen is overrated, fine, but his resume as a shooter is pretty inarguable. You want to say Paul Pierce is overrated? I'm all for that. But who would you rather have if you were building a team, Rajon Rondo or Paul Pierce? And then don't even try to say Kevin Garnett is overrated, because that's just not the case. So if you're either they fell short of expectations, or Rajon Rondo was maybe a little overrated in that stretch and even at his peak, then you can't have it both ways. That's how I would go about it, and I would be interested to see what the response would be to that. February's very own writes, "Hey Anthony and Pete, love the show. Now that AD has just come out and said there isn't a play that he doesn't feel his shoulder injury, do you think the Lakers would be wrong to load management this early in the season?" They can try, but apparently either he isn't letting the Lakers medical team do their jobs and actually really look into his various injuries. He did sit one game already so far, that it was smart that he did that. If I had my druthers, I would have had him sit against Atlanta too. It's not like they needed him out there. It's not like he really made much of an impact out there either, by the way. But I probably would have had him sit that game and maybe even both of these OKC games. Just give him like a week to kind of heal. But I think what's going on here is the Lakers and Davis don't think that his injuries can get worse, which I would just flatly disagree with on an inherent level. All injuries can always get worse. Or B, the time he spends sitting and resting wouldn't help these specific maladies or injuries. And in which case, I would say, well, then what's actually going on if rest won't help that injury? There's just some stuff going on there that I don't think they're being particularly smart with it. They didn't need him against Atlanta. They flat out didn't. And as annoyed as he would have been sitting on the sideline while LeBron put on that show with Kobe sitting courtside, yeah, that's basically what he did last night anyway. next question here. I do want to say, though, the minutes that the Lakers are the minutes that they played in last night's game, Davis plays 28, LeBron plays 33. None of those minutes felt very tough. At no point did it feel like the Lakers were just putting all they have on the line. Atlanta laid down. Atlanta's already struggling from a talent standpoint, and they didn't play particularly hard, it looked like, and the Lakers were able to coast. They could have coasted all the way through to a 20-point win, and that's basically what they did. So there's another question here asking for Pete's input on it as well, so I'll go ahead and skip that one for now and come back to it tomorrow, since Pete and I will have a day off to just kind of shoot the shit. Rubert, well, I do have to read this because it's 5 stars, but K. Izzle says, "Hey Fred, I would dominate you one-on-one. It wouldn't even be close. I'd teach you how to really shoot, but you'd be barbecue chicken in the paint." Congrats, I guess. It's kind of a weird thing to say. A weird topic to really demand makes its way to the Locked On Lakers podcast. But yeah, I guess congrats. You can beat a short, fat Mexican at basketball right now. Way to go. Rubert24 writes, "It's a great podcast. Everyone Pete is on. If only they get rid of that toad, Anthony Irwin." Ribbit. That's a riveting take. All right. Seahawks writes, very good content and insight on our favorite LA team, the Lake Show. However, I find it difficult to play the podcast in my car with my 2-year-old because I don't want him to learn new words that start with F or sh, unless it's food or let's be quiet. I've never felt that vulgar language doesn't or adds value to any good discussion. So it's weird. We go back on this all the time, back and forth on this all the time. I try to use it really sparingly. I really honestly do. But sometimes it just slips out. And like the vibe that I try to give with this podcast is two friends or me and another friend just talking about sports and talking trash. And every so often, when you're talking trash with a close friend, guess what pops out every so often? And now, I do agree that you don't want it to be every other word or anything like that. I do think there's a line, a very clear line, actually, as far as what, when not to use it. And I try to only use it, honestly, when my emotions get going, because that's when those words start coming out. But, you know, even while, so for every complaint like this one, I'll get a tweet every so often that says, it'd be nice if you guys cursed every so often. I would like an edge to the discussion on certain topics. So it's a balance that we try to figure out every show. And if I do feel like it's a little extra, I go back and I edit it. There are some times where I'll go back, and if it feels like we're just using that word a little too much, and it isn't about the Celtics, I'll go back and take a look at it and take a listen again. And I've played it for Jen before, and I'll give her thoughts on it as well. That's kind of our process in dealing with that. Stephen Naismith writes, hello, I'm a listener from, I'm Eric from Whittier. I've been listening since 2017. Love the show. You and Pete inspired me to try and make content about basketball since I love it so much. I have an NBA memes page with about 18,000 followers and wanted to start branching out maybe into a podcast of my own. So thank you, especially for your comments on how in this new era anyone can make it, even if it's through non-traditional methods. Two, I know each of you feel how each of you feels about pineapple on pizza. However, when I visited my family in Mexico City this summer, I had pineapple on my al pastor tacos for the first time, and it was an experience. That combo of pineapple on the pastor with a roasty red spicy arbol, chile salsa was stupid good, and now I feel like I might try pineapple pizza since my life has changed. Have either of you tried pineapple on pastor? I have. It's really good. The thing with pineapple on non-traditional foods is it's adding sweetness. It's a way of adding sweetness without just dousing something in sugar. So, and it's just like, you know, another version of this is adding bacon. Not only do you get the taste of, you know, the protein and the bite of bacon, the texture of bacon, adding bacon to things, well, that's another way of adding salt, a salty flavor to something without dousing it with salt, right? And when I say add pineapple to spicy foods, that sweet, spicy combination is undefeated, frankly. And so when I have a pizza with my ham, my bacon, my jalapeno, and my pineapple, you have salt represented, you have the fatty foods represented, you have spice represented, you have that sweet in there as well, and it all comes together with a good sauce, obviously, and that's where pizza's at. That's where all those balances there, that's I think the term for it is umami, right, is the idea or the concept of perfect taste. It's a combination of salt and fat and sweetness and spice and textures and all of these things. And that's where the idea of adding pineapple comes from, is it's adding something sweet to a food without just going the easy route of, well, we'll just throw some more sugar on it. Also, good luck on your endeavors with the podcast. The triggered six-year-old, last question here. The triggered six-year-old writes, why is every player currently shooting threes for the Lakers, minimum three attempts, actively shooting worse than their average for the last season prior to the game tonight? This was 5 days ago. Will they start making shots, or is this something to look at moving forward? Also, pineapple on pizza is a no. Well, you're a no. Your face is a no. I'm kidding. Look, the Lakers shooting has kind of started to turn around. It was always going to take a little time, I think, because again, like as we've talked about, it's not just about employing shooters. It's coming to an understanding of what kind of shots made those guys the shooters that they are. And the idea is, or the concept or the goal should be, get, if Danny Green likes a corner three-pointer, right, which he does, if Danny Green likes a corner three-pointer or the trail three-pointer on the wing, get him a couple of those shots so he sees the ball go through the net and then can have use that momentum, that rhythm, to hit shots that maybe he's less comfortable with. And what you don't want to have happen is maybe start the game with Danny Green or KCP or Kuzma or Quinn Cook or Troy Daniels, whichever shooter you might be talking about here. What you don't want to do is start the game with a three-pointer that they aren't as comfortable with, because now you're starting the game from a type of deficit. Not an actual deficit, obviously. Shooters miss shots all the time. But a rhythm deficit, a momentum deficit. And what the Lakers are starting to figure out is, okay, how can we get Danny Green the kind of look early in the game that gets him going and gets him rolling for the remainder of the game? How can we get Kuzma coming off of the bench and in a spot that he's comfortable with and ready to hit those shots and be able to carry that momentum throughout the game? And as they figure these things out, and that's just one version of trying to get momentum going, but as the team figures these things out, as they have over the last few games, and it's helped because the schedule has lightened up a little bit, but as they start to figure these things out, shooters get more comfortable, and they'll start progressing to the mean that was their shooting either last year or whatever their shooting has been over the course of their careers. Great show. Great win for the Lakers. It was a fun one. Pete will be back again tomorrow, and we're going to keep on answering your guys' questions and talk about whatever we have to talk about as it comes to us. So thank you guys very much for sending in those questions. This was a blast. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.